Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Well, we are back here on Rutherford Issues, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, and their charitable foundation is called Sharing Change. And through Sharing Change, members can round up their electric bills to the nearest dollar each month, supporting hundreds of nonprofits. Discover more at sharingchange.org. Well, we're going to find out what's been going on with the Rutherford County School Board, catching up with the vice chair of the board, Francis Rosales. And good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Brian?
Doing good. I'm ready for springtime.
Me too. I just hope the weather, I call the weather schizophrenic sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Because you never know what kind of weather you're going to have from day to day. So
it caused you all in the last few weeks to postpone and move a board meeting, which is rare.
It is rare. But we did that out of caution due to the inclement weather.
Yeah.
It was a good decision. Ended up being that the streets were still a little icy, some areas. So we want to take caution and not put people on the road and risk their safety. So it was a good decision, I think.
You know, that decision for schools, maybe you're going to get criticized either way. So you just have to roll with it. But we got a little surprise snow that overnight and early that morning, and it would have been not a good thing. So, you know, I would hate to have to be the one to make that decision.
Right, right. But I believe that with Dr. Sullivan's leadership, I believe the school system with the students, the teachers, the staff, and the parents have seen that he's demonstrated leadership in making those really tough decisions. Whether you agree or disagree, he's always about school safety.
Yeah.
And he has that in the forefront of his mind when he makes those decisions. So I applaud him for that.
Well, I guess last night was your most recent meeting. Is that right? Or
Monday.
Okay, that was the change.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Part of that, I guess, is the information that I received from Rob Mitchell this morning about passing a resolution supporting critical thinking, chess, and conflict resolution program. So what do you know about that?
Well, I know that Rob Mitchell, this is something that's dear to his heart, and he's been wanting to do this for a very, very long time. Even when I ran for the school board and I was on the campaign trail, he came up to me and brought this whole thing about the chess and how it's been proving, and there's data behind it that it does help develop children's critical thinking skills, and he's been wanting to implement this throughout the county for all of our schools. And so he's been really, really championing that, and some of our school board members have kind of got back behind him and trying to promote it. And so we were honored to have a resolution on Monday night to get behind his initiative and promote it to the state and have the governor really try to put this as part of his platform and kind of push it out and roll it out to the entire state of Tennessee, because it's a good thing.
Sure. Well, and I think there has been work at the state capitol to try to make this go. And the resolution just, I guess, urges the governor to include that, maybe create a pilot program in Rutherford County. That'd be a good place for that to start. So maybe next fall, we'll see.
We'll see. And also funding. I mean, everything needs funding. And so the state, this is also to inquire about that and make this into a reality with adding the funding to it. So
everything takes money, right?
I know. You're not new to this game. How about the money? I feel like we're in that Jerry Maguire movie constantly.
Yeah.
Where Jerry comes out and says, "Show me the money."
Every idea that comes up, where's the money for this? Right?
Well, not just idea. To run the schools themselves requires money. And so we always have to make a lot of tough decisions in trying to do what's best for Rutherford County Schools. So,
you know, I saw some photos from the job fair and thought that was interesting that we continue to have a lot of success with those job fairs. But one thing that caught my eye, that's just another thing you have to think about having to pay for, is the new Poplar Hills Elementary was at the job fair. They're hiring teachers. And so not only do you have to pay to build the building, you've got to pay to have staff in the building.
You hit the nail on the head with that. And just like we have observed how the funding, like how it works with TESA, the funding, the operational cost for every school building that's physical or non-physical is dependent upon the previous year's academic enrollment. And so we may have an influx of new students coming in, but that is to share the pot with the new schools that are being that are going to be starting. And you're absolutely correct. We're going to have to get more resources. We need more resources to staff the building. So the budget is going to be a little tight for sure. And Dr. Sullivan has already signaled that and also brought that to the county commissioners and saying that the budget is going to be tight again. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. You're kind of in the budget process.
Are
you just starting it, or have you been working on it since the turn of the 2025, or how has that been going?
So we're in the preliminary stages at the very, very beginning stages of the budget. Normally the way that is the process begins and starts with Dr. Sullivan meeting with every principal and kind of discussing what their needs and the wants and just having conversations around what could be the reality of what they want. So it starts with that, and then it just continues to throughout the process, making changes here and there and trying to get a more balanced budget, because at the end of the day, it's going to depend on the county commissioners and how much they're willing to raise or not raise the maintenance of effort. And a lot of people don't understand that the maintenance of effort is what funds our local schools, that the county commissioners really makes a decision upon, and that's dependent on how much money is coming to the county. So there's a big decisions that are being made. Plus, we're going into, on top of going through budget restructure and negotiations and reconciliation, we're also going through another major thing, and that's the bus contracts. This is the year.
I wrote that down. So
you wrote that down. So I'm a step ahead of you. Yep. I read your list before I walked in here. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't even see it. So the bus contracts, it's another thing that we're having to make decisions on. They have come out, the bus contractors have come out pretty strong on what they're asking. Inflation is a real thing. It's just a matter of how much we can afford. So we're trying to work through that and trying to find something that's reasonable and helps them as well in our county. Yeah. And they've done so much for us in regards to providing the buses and taking care of our kids and taking them to and fro from their home to their schools. So there's a lot of work to be done still.
Yeah. On that, let's just take, for instance, this next year, you're adding another school. The price tag of that is, I guess, was in last year's budget, so we could actually build it. But then you're going to add personnel for that school. The costs have gone up for the schools and maintenance and cleaning supplies and everything there, too. And so, obviously, you can't just say, well, what we did last year, we'll do this year.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Right, especially with a new school.
Yeah.
Because you got to take exactly what you're saying. You got to take all of those factors into consideration. So the price tag gets pretty high.
And on top of that, I think it's important to also realize that the county schools budget makes up, what, 70-80% of the whole county budget.
Absolutely.
So
just on the local revenue.
Yeah.
Because we still get the state money, and that's a different percentage. But the local revenue that is dependent upon the county itself, yes, it's a pretty high percentage on that side. It's very labor intensive.
I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. And now we add another for or against that. That's not what this statement is going to be about. But when you add charter schools and that money following the child, and we found out after this first year of it that you don't get that money until it's in the after the school year is over. So do we ever get anything worked out on that?
Well, I will say that there are some things that are making its way legislatively. I saw one bill in particularly that they're saying they're trying to separate the two fund. I don't know if they're actually separating the actual funding, but the actual numbers are being separated out. So there's legislation for that. That will help, I believe, in trying to make decisions for our schools as these schools are coming on. And really, technically, and I think people need to understand, the real issue with the funding comes is what I call year zero, when they're actually starting on day one with operational costs, okay, where they haven't gone through a full academic year, where those numbers of enrollment will also fold into the total enrollment number, including those that are in our Rutherford County schools as well. And so then that becomes a little bit more easier to manage, but really is the first year, what I consider year zero, where it's more of a per pupil expense. So you're looking at the total number of kids that are enrolled in the previous year enrollment, and you divide that by the budget that was used the prior that same year, and that's where you get your per pupil expense. So the funding for that is a little bit different how it's deviated out, mm-hmm, versus when we're just receiving straight up money that is used, that is generated from the whole entire TESA formula. So those the distinction between the two, how the charter schools are funding on the year zero, the first year that they actually said, I'm opening the doors. So I think people need to understand that is where the complexity comes into play.
I know you and I had this very same conversation after it was realized that this money is going to have to come out of our budget for almost a whole year, you know, and that's not really the way it was designed to be, but that was the implication of it all.
Yes, and they're doing some true ups, meaning they're going to change the numbers for the charter schools and how much they're actually going to divvy out. But originally, at the forefront, we're having to set aside some of the funding in the event that this is the reality of how many students are actually could be enrolled. So the true up, this gives us a little bit of a grace, but this comes after a little more into the school year. And so we've been talking to them as well with the lawmakers and changing that and giving that more, that we can receive that funding a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So we got an email from one of our representatives, and I will say that in Rutherford County, our delegation has been extremely helpful in trying to make these changes and trying to make it easier for us and helping us and assisting that. And so we received an email over the weekend saying that they're going to try and expedite those true ups in a lot quicker, 2 weeks in advance rather waiting a lot longer. So at least we're getting those things, the true ups expedited.
Yeah.
So that's a good news for us and trying to get money, recouping the money back. So
The vice chair of the Rutherford County School Board, Francis Rosales, joining us here this morning. I did see that there is there may be two more charter schools that are being that have applied, I guess, for,
yes,
would this be the next school year or two years away, I think, right?
Tentatively, it'll be 2 years, but it'll depend upon whether they will find a location. That has been a big struggle for a lot of these charter schools here in Rutherford County, and it should be no surprise to anyone,
sure,
because
we've ran
into the same issue. We're having difficulties finding land that is accessible so that we can put a school building there. So it's going to be dependent upon that. But yes, ideally, it's going to be for them to open in 2 years. And two of these schools, one of them is Novus. I don't know if you are aware of who Novus is, but they applied last year, and now they're replying again this year. And then Rocket Ship.
They were turned down last year, mm-hmm, I think, by the state, right?
By the state. Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's correct. And then they're replying again. And then Rocket Ship is the other one that's applying. They have charter schools in Nashville as well. And both of these two charter schools have indicated that they're wanting to serve the low-income, underserved population of the county. So we'll see how that goes.
Kind of Smyrna Laverne area, too, I think, primarily focused with these two?
Tentatively.
Yeah.
I also saw another bill that is circulating right now in the county, in the General Assembly, that will allow any charter school to be able to have a location within anywhere in the county. That means that if they're wanting to go into Murfreesboro, they can have a school there, a charter school, without having to go through the same process with Murfreesboro City Schools. So
the approval process comes and they could be anywhere in the county.
If that bill passes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't really know all the technicalities. I read the summary aspect of it, and you know how these things go.
Sure.
They're going to have a lot of amendments depending on what the pushback is or the support, really, either way. So everything is still up in the air. But technically, I will say yes, with the current setup that we have with the statues, it will be primarily in the Laverne and Sparta area.
Well, I do want to go back, and our time always goes so quickly, talk about the bus situation. And, you know, there are a lot of things going from a lot of different places, but you know, in Murfreesboro City, they handle their buses differently. They own their own buses and hire the drivers. That would be such a monumental task for the county schools. I don't know how you would even begin with that. But I mean, there's no magic bullet here to this situation. There's going to have to be the two sides come together on something, I would think.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
You're absolutely right.
There's no magic bullet. Yeah. The difference between the Murfreesboro City Schools and Rutherford County Schools is that the operation of the way it's been something that's been a part of the county for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. We're talking about generations, and some of these bus contractors, it's what they live for. It's our passion, because it's something that's been passed down from generation to generation. Sure. And so the reality of it is that where we're at today in 2024 is that the cost has gone up so substantially. And so so that makes it a little bit more complicated in trying to find ways that's still cost effective and serving the needs of our students. And so the board has a huge task at hand in trying to come to a decision that is cost effective and serves our students at the same time. So and that's something that's essential.
Yeah. There are so many things that are mandated by the state. Having a seat for every kid is one of those for Rutherford Correct. County Schools. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if transportation is part of that. And that's part of the argument that I've heard that I've had to mm-hmm. disagree with, because that's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement by law.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's if federally as well, and I don't want to misspoke at this point, but yes, you're correct. And so there's a lot of conversations. I mean, there is even some discussion that was raised by other board members in trying to bring parent responsibility zones. And so I think right now anything is on the table.
Yeah.
We just have to wait and see what happens. But a lot of everything literally is on the table. And I have to give it to the chair, because she's allowed the bus opportunities for the bus contractors to come to the board meetings and express their opinions and even ideas in ways for us to consider as pathways to be more cost effective. So I have to give her kudos to bring to allow them to have that time to have a dialogue between the board and the bus contractors. And we've taken some of the things that they've said and kind of have a bigger conversation out in the open in our board meetings, and trying to discuss if this is effective or not, or can it work or it doesn't work or whatever. So anything right now, we're open to considerations.
Sure. Whatever we can get those talks going,
that's
I guess.
That's right. So. That's right. That's right.
Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us. It always goes quickly, and I always enjoy getting to talk with you and all the other board members.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, and you have a good day.
All right. Frances Rosales joining us from Rutherford County Schools.